Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we are continuing with our series of year-ahead conversations, as we will focus in specifically on the emerging markets. We will spend some time reviewing the flagship publication from the emerging markets team, Emerging Markets in the Roaring Twenties, which will explore expectations for the asset class in the year ahead. Joining me for the conversation today, glad to welcome back Alejo Zarwanko, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Alejo, thank you for dropping by to share your expectations for the year ahead. Looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Dan, so much for having me.
So, Alejo, let's begin with the title. Now, the Chief Investment Office is calling the year ahead 2025 the Roaring Twenties, next stage. So what exactly inspired the choice of title?
As you can imagine, Dan, this is our highest profile publication of the year, and we therefore spend quite a bit of time trying to select a title that sends the right message, right? And in this case, the Roaring Twenties has to do with the observation that we perceive that today's world is comparable to that of the 1920s. At their core, both decades were characterized and are being characterized by strong economic and financial market performance on the one hand, alongside growing political and geopolitical tensions on the other. Think about the 1920s. The world was recovering from the First World War and the global pandemic, interestingly, and the decade that ensued was characterized by significant economic prosperity and technological transformation. You saw innovations such as the radio, cars, telephones becoming widely adopted in the Western world. Stock markets reacted significantly, delivering substantial returns. But at the same time, we do need to remember the decade was marked by significant challenges, including the revival of the Ku Klux Klan and anti-immigration policies in the U.S. And we also saw a sharp reconfiguration of global geopolitics. The U.S. gained economic and military importance. Europe faced economic decline. And the rise of totalitarian leaders such as Benito Mussolini, who came to power in Italy in 1922. So think about how much of what I just shared with you rhymes with today's world. Since the start of the 2020s, global equity markets are up by around 50%. U.S. nominal GDP has increased by over 30%. U.S. corporate profits are up nearly 70%. The artificial intelligence revolution is in full swing, yet at the same time, recent elections around the world have highlighted the deepening internal tensions within countries, the widespread polarization that we're observing, and this is helping populist leaders gain ground over more centrist alternatives. And from a geopolitical perspective, the multipolar nature of today's framework suggests that tensions between countries are likely to persist. We talked about this in the podcast before. If you think about U.S.-China, Russia, Ukraine, and the tensions ongoing in the Middle East, this defies simple solutions and are likely to be with us for a prolonged period of time.
So, Alejo, with that all in mind, what does this environment mean for investments and emerging markets more specifically?
Absolutely. In the piece, Dan, we argue that investors should continue to position to capture potential upside while at the same time trying to mitigate risks. Let me give you a few concrete messages. We believe global stocks, including emerging market stocks, have further room for growth. We also think that bonds offer decent income generation, right? If I told you 5 years ago that you could build a fixed income portfolio that can deliver 5.5 to 6% interest rates without excessive duration or credit risk, you would have been very excited, right? Remember, not long ago, we had billions of dollars of negative yielding fixed income securities. Today, we have a much more generous bond environment. Another message, the outlook for global residential and commercial real estate is promising, right? And we think it adds quite a bit for the construction of investment portfolios. At the same time, Dan, I think exposure to assets such as gold and structured investments can provide the needed protection against persistent political and geopolitical risks, as well as concerns over U.S. government debt. The number of questions that I've been getting from clients regarding debt sustainability in the U.S. has skyrocketed in the last few months. In terms of emerging markets, then, I think the backdrop that I described in terms of the roaring 20s presents both opportunities and challenges. If you think about the broadening of global GDP growth, this is supporting economic activity differentials in favor of emerging markets, which is a good thing. In addition, many companies from the emerging world are leaders in the ongoing artificial intelligence transformation. Finally, you got to remember that countries such as India and Brazil, the so-called geopolitical swing states, can benefit from the shift in geopolitical landscape if they do their homework. On the other hand, Dan, I think it's clear that trade and tariff uncertainty, diminishing U.S. support for multilateral institutions, and increasing fragmentation of the global economy, these are all clear challenges for emerging markets.
So against that backdrop, if we turn to allocation, Alejo, what is your outlook for emerging market bonds, stocks, as well as currencies?
Terrific. Let's take each asset class in turn, starting with emerging market equities. We think emerging market stocks will deliver low teen returns by the end of 2025. This, we think, will be driven by eventually a reasonable approach to tariffs by the incoming Trump administration, will be driven by China's stimulus efforts, and will be supported by the Fed's ongoing rate cut cycle. Add to that, fairly strong artificial intelligence-driven growth in some countries in Asia, and that, in a way, puts together the picture of decent total returns for emerging market stocks 12 months out. When it comes to fixed income, emerging market bonds have had a very solid 2024, and this, in a way, limits the return potential for 2025 because spreads of emerging market bonds over U.S. Treasuries are quite tight. Still, we think that emerging market bonds offer good opportunity to generate income. The interest rate on offer is on average 6-7%, which is appealing. And if you want to be more specific, you can craft fixed income portfolios using emerging market bonds that can help investors achieve a range of goals quite efficiently. Finally, Dan, when it comes to currencies, the risk-reward profile for emerging market currencies doesn't really look too appealing at the moment. There's a lot of momentum in favor of the dollar. We do think opportunities will arise throughout 2025, particularly in those countries that have good things going for them domestically in terms of maybe reforming, modernizing the economy, which at the same time, you might find the opportunity of exchange rates overshooting on the back of global developments. We're monitoring very closely opportunities in the South African rand, the Turkish lira, and the Mexican peso as the year progresses.
Well, Alejo, thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning today to share your thoughts, expectations for the year ahead when it comes to the emerging markets. Again, I do want to highlight the flagship note from the emerging markets team. Emerging Markets in the Roaring Twenties is now available up on UBS.com/year ahead. Though for clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy directly. So, Alejo, again, thank you for all of the guidance, the insights you've shared with our listeners throughout the course of 2024, and very much looking forward to continuing with our emerging markets conversations in the year ahead.
I love dropping in, Dan. Thank you for the hard work, and can't wait to continue these conversations in the new year.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.